But the title of our lesson today is called, because each and every one of us is called to follow Jesus. And I'm going to be focusing in on 3 points today, and I'll just tell you right now, but we're going to be talking about how we're all called to obey, we're called to acknowledge, and we're called to respond.
Come on.
And so let's dive in here. Into Luke chapter 5. We're going to start at the beginning.
Come on, Caleb.
But I love this story. This story intrigues me a lot, and so I'm excited to read it with you guys right here. But Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by fishermen. Were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little bit from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had just taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." And we'll stop there. But this story, a lot of it, is about fishing. Something that New Yorkers cannot really relate with, right? We don't fish very much. I don't see much fresh water around here. Right? But who here has gone fishing before? Okay. Decent amount of us. I've gone fishing too. I'm not very good at it. But if you guys have ever fished before, you should know how difficult it is. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of skill, and a lot of time. Takes a lot of time. You have to have the right bait, right? You can't scare the fish away. You have to make sure your equipment is strong enough to hold those fish who obviously don't want to get caught. Right? They're trying to swim away. And so for me, I want to tell a little story. I think I was in middle school. I was like 13, and I went to a cabin with some of my good friends and one of their fathers. And so during that trip, we went fishing on a little boat like this. And this was one of my first times fishing. And so I had no idea what I was doing. They were teaching me different things. I put some bait on the hook, and I was casting out into the water. And my friends were catching a lot of fish. And I was a little discouraged, because I was like, I've been sitting here for hours and I've caught nothing. They're catching these pretty large fish. And so I'm like, all right, I need to up my bait. So I put 2 worms on the hook and I cast it out. And about 15 minutes later, I get a huge jolt coming from my fishing line. And I'm like, oh, I think I caught something. And then, you know, I'm trying to brag to the guys. I'm like, yo, I think I caught something big over here. So I'm pulling on it, and it's pulling me back. Like, it's pulling me back hard. I'm like, yo, what is on this hook right now? And so I'm trying to reel this in. I'm reeling it in. And, you know, the guys are trying to keep me in the boat because I'm like falling out of the boat and it's pulling me a lot. And I'm reeling it in. And then below the water, I see this huge shadow, like this huge shadow of some sort of creature, some sort of aquatic creature of some sort. It kind of looked like a fish. I don't know, you know, like it was a lake, so it couldn't have been anything too crazy. But I saw the shadow. And right when I saw that shadow, the line broke. My fishing line broke right before I could see what was coming to the surface of this water. And so I went home very discouraged. I caught nothing. And I could have caught something huge. But this is me as an amateur fisherman. Of course, like, I didn't catch anything, right? But in this story, these were professional fishermen, right? These were guys who knew how to fish. They fished for a living. And they caught nothing that whole night. And here Jesus is, he comes up to them, a rabbi, not a fisherman. He's like, hey, why don't you go back into the water and, you know, cast your nets out? It's like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean cast our nets again? We've caught nothing all day, what do you mean? And so, in this story, Simon Peter especially, it focuses in on him. But Peter was challenged with obeying what Jesus told him to do, even though it didn't make sense in the moment. It's like, okay, what do you mean cast our net again? Like, we've been fishing all day and caught absolutely nothing. So why is it going to change now, you know? And so the first point for today is call to obey.
Come on.
Right? We're all called to obey the words of God. And Simon, he really just didn't understand why Jesus was telling him to go out again, right? When they hadn't caught anything the whole day. But despite Peter's doubt, he decided to obey. He decided to obey Jesus' instructions, right? And sometimes by giving into our doubt, we miss out on blessings, right? They would have missed out on a huge catch if they didn't listen to Jesus. But for you guys, what are some doubts that you have that prevent you from obeying God's word? What are some doubts you have? Maybe it's doubting if it's even worth your time. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe it's doubting that you even have the ability to follow God's word. Maybe it's a fear of failure. I know I relate with that.
Keep it real, bro.
Maybe you doubt you will ever see the fruit of your labor. Maybe Peter doubted that. Like, what do you mean? Maybe it's doubt that you'll actually find fulfillment in God's way. Right? Maybe you doubt that God's way is better than your way. And for me, I've definitely just had to accept how prideful of a person I am at my core, at nature. Even as a little kid, I thought I knew everything. Right? I thought my life was, you know, better spent my way than anyone else's way. And, you know, I have a few funny examples of that, but there are a lot of things my parents told me to do that I didn't obey. And I didn't listen to them because I thought my way was better. And there was one Halloween, I had this huge, we would take pillowcases around and fill them up. Like, that's how much candy we used to get back in the day. Right? We would go to different neighborhoods, try to get as much candy as we could on Halloween. And one Halloween, I had a huge pillowcase full of candy. And my parents were like, Caleb, just don't eat too much. You're going to get sick. You're going to get a stomach ache. Outside, my parents don't know what they're talking about. This candy tastes amazing. I'm going to eat as much as I can. But they knew what I was thinking. And so they took my pillowcase and hid it somewhere in the kitchen. But I got up late that night. And I went on a hunt to find that candy. And I found it. I found the candy and I ate as much as I wanted. And I got sick.
No.
I got a terrible stomach ache the next morning. But that was just my pride. I'm like, you know what? I know better than my parents. And I can do things my way and see what happens. Because this tastes good. I'm going to keep eating it. Right? And I know, again, another thing they told me to do many times that I didn't really listen to them was, hey, Caleb, why don't you put on sunscreen before you go out? And for me, you know, I'm a little light-skinned, you know, like... And so, I burn. But I had to learn that the hard way. And I went to football practice and I didn't put on sunscreen. And you know, the football practices, it was two practices a day. So I'm out there for hours and I came back with some terrible sunburn. That's because I didn't obey, because I thought my way was better. I didn't really see why my parents were telling me to do these annoying things, right? Like not eat candy or put on sunscreen, right? But back to the story, Simon just really didn't see what Jesus saw, right? He didn't see how what Jesus said and told them to do, how that would influence their life at all. And, you know, that goes to show that sometimes we just don't see the bigger picture. But God does. Right? We can be an inch away from dying, but we give up. Right? Peter was one cast away from a huge catch. Jesus saw it, but he didn't. Right? Sometimes we just don't see the bigger picture, and we have to be humble enough to accept that. And we've experienced life our way, and so we think we know it all. Right? But Jesus exposes us to God's way of life. And God's way transcends our understanding. Like, we can't fully understand it. And I want to read this scripture in Isaiah 55.
Come on.
And this is about God. This is God speaking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we'll stop there. But God's way is above human logic. God's wisdom is higher than human wisdom. We have to accept that. It's not even a close comparison.
Yeah.
Right? God created us, and he created the universe we live in. So why do we even try to compare with his wisdom? Why do we even try to compete? Right? But yet we try to compete all the time with God's wisdom. There are times when we see what God is calling us to do out of his great wisdom, and yet we decide to reject it. We decide to follow our own understanding of things rather than his. But there's no way that you're going to obey God's word if you think your words are more powerful. There's no way you're going to obey God if you think you're better off following your own wisdom and your own understanding. But for you guys, how are you currently relying on your own wisdom? What are some areas in your life where you find yourself rejecting and ignoring God's wisdom? Maybe you just aren't seeing why you should forgive that person in your life. That person that hurt you. That person that got on your nerves. You don't see how Jesus' teaching about loving your enemies could have any benefit in your situation. Maybe you aren't seeing why that sin you keep coming back to and holding on to is destructive. Maybe it's a sin you enjoy, you don't think it's severe enough to make a change in your life. Maybe you're more introverted and independent, right? You don't see why you should get advice from other people, why you should involve other people in your life. Maybe you aren't seeing why you should be devoted to the body of believers. Maybe you've had a bad experience in church, or maybe you think you can follow Jesus on your own by yourself. And all these things are understandable, they're relatable, but they're just not wise.
Yeah.
Right? All of these thought processes. And if God's way is higher than our way, then what in the world is better to follow? Is it better to follow God's way or our own way? If we follow our own way, it's not going to get us anywhere. And we have to accept that we're not going to fully understand everything in the Bible, and why certain things are there, and why God wants us to live certain ways.
That's a good point.
Just like Simon Peter, he didn't understand
why
Jesus was telling him to cast the net again. Right? He's like, okay, I guess if you say so, but I don't think it's going to work. That's what he was thinking. But we get more and more clarity the more we obey God's word. And this is kind of what Jesus says in John chapter 8. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to, if you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. You'll get clarity. And the truth will set you free. We'll stop there. But here we see that disciples or Christians are people who don't just read the Bible and come to church and believe that God exists, but they're people who follow him, right? Who hold to his teachings. They're people who obey and live out the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
And so the call of discipleship is really the call to obey. Right? And it's only after we begin to obey that we get that clarity. Right? He says, if you hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth. He doesn't say if you read my word, you'll know the truth. He says, if you follow it, you'll see the truth. Just like with Simon Peter, he followed Jesus' instructions and saw who Jesus was in that moment. And so we need to obey to get clarity.
Come on, bro.
And that's what the fishermen experienced in Luke chapter 5. They had doubts,
just like us.
We have a lot of doubts. And they didn't fully understand, but yet they obeyed. And this is what happened. It says, when they had done so, when they had obeyed, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And that's powerful.
Yeah.
Right? God wants us to have these types of blessings. Right here, he wants to give us more blessings than we can even imagine. That's just who he is. And I think these fishermen in this moment are starting to see that there's a lot more to learn.
Yeah.
There's a lot more than what they understand by themselves. And they're starting to see that there's a lot more that they can learn specifically from Jesus. And each one of us here has doubts, right? But we can find clarity for those doubts by obeying God's word. But it's only if we decide to obey. Right? We're not going to get clarity about our doubts by avoiding our doubts.
Yeah, that's true.
And so the call to follow Jesus starts with this call of obedience, this call to obey. But we're also called to acknowledge, and that's point two for today.
Come
on. Into that. We're called to acknowledge. And I'll get into what I mean by that, but let's turn back to Luke chapter 5.
Come on, bro.
And see how Simon Peter reacted after he obeyed and saw what happened with this huge catch. In Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. We'll stop here, but right here is a moment of reflection from Simon Peter. He reflects on himself. He's like, I am a sinful man. I doubted you. Right? He didn't think they were going to catch anything because he was more focused on his understanding of things. But in this moment, he really acknowledges himself for who he really is compared to Jesus. And the words of Jesus help Peter to see himself clearly. And today we might not have Jesus physically here with us, right? Helping us to catch this, you know, this huge two boats of fish, right? But we have Jesus' words with us. We have the Bible with us. And the Bible is what really helps us to truly acknowledge ourselves, who we are, who God is. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks a little bit about this. But it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so this is talking about how the Word of God is alive and active. The Bible is still relevant to our lives today. And it also gets into how the Bible is the most accurate tool we can use to analyze ourselves, to acknowledge who we are at the core of our heart. And so if you really want to know where you stand with God and what it means to follow Jesus, then you have to go to the Bible. The Bible will expose your character. The Bible will inspire you to change. The Bible will guide you. But it won't if we don't use it. If you don't read it, then it can't do any of those things. And so Jesus says that in order to truly be his disciples or followers, we need to hold to his teachings. But that's hard to do. It's hard to hold on to something that we don't know.
Yeah. It's real.
It's hard to obey teachings that you've never read before. But disciples are called to live with the Bible as their standard for life. And so if you truly want to follow Jesus, then his word should be the lens you use to acknowledge yourself.
Come on.
It shouldn't be your own lens. It shouldn't be what the culture says or what social media says or what your friends say. It should be coming straight from God.
Yeah.
Straight from the words of God. And we should use the Bible as our standard to know what's right and wrong, to know how we should live. But for you guys, is the Bible truly the standard for your life? Or is it just occasional? Is the Bible truly the standard for your life? Or is it just occasional? Standard, right? When I think of a standard, I think of a guideline. If it's occasional, the Bible is just occasional for you. It's a loose belief at that point. A standard. If you make the Bible your standard, that means you've examined the Bible. You're examining it. If it's occasional, you're just skimming through it. Right? If it's the standard, it's the pattern of your life. The things written in the Bible are the way you live. It's the pattern of your life. If it's occasional, it's just sporadic. Sometimes you're following it. Most times you're not. Right? If the Bible's the standard, it's going to be consistent. If it's occasional, it's going to be rare that you read it. If the Bible's your standard, then you're going to take it seriously. Right? You're going to take God's word seriously. But if it's just occasional, then you're just going to take it casually. Like, oh, these are some cool ideals that I could follow. But I want to encourage you guys to make the Bible your standard.
Come on.
If you're not reading the Bible consistently, then try to read the Bible once a day. Try to read a chapter a day. Try to read about the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Pick one and read a chapter a day to really see who God is.
Yeah.
Right, to make this your standard. If you've read the Bible before, but you feel like you're not getting a lot out of it, I encourage you to examine the scriptures rather than skimming it. Examining, right? Asking questions to other people. Writing down notes about what interests you.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it means to examine. If you think of the Bible as like, oh, this is a cool book of ideals, I'd encourage you to really view it as God's word. Right? As God's word that he's telling you himself. And to make it your standard. Because the Bible is the most accurate tool we can use to self-reflect. The Bible helps us to acknowledge, and it helps us to acknowledge a lot of things. It helps us to acknowledge God's holiness. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, it says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides him. There is no rock like our God." The Bible helps us to acknowledge God's power. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, it says, "Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." That's what it says about God's power. The Bible helps us to acknowledge God's wisdom. In Romans 11, verse 33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." The Bible also helps us to acknowledge our sin, which might be difficult, right? But in Romans chapter 3, it talks about how we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned.
Yeah.
And the Bible also helps us to acknowledge what our sin earns us. Mm. In Romans 6, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And it says, what you earn from sinning is death. That's what we truly deserve.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible helps us to acknowledge. And based off of that, it helps us to acknowledge our need for God. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. Mm-hmm. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Right? The Bible helps us to acknowledge that we need God. We need Him. And what we truly deserve because of our actions, because of our sin, is death.
Right.
And when we acknowledge who we are and what we deserve compared to who God is and what He gives us, that's some deep reflection right there. Because in all honesty, the math doesn't add up, right? We deserve death, and yet He gives us life. That makes no sense. And I'm glad, right? I'm glad the math doesn't add up. Because what we truly deserve is way worse than what God has given us. If anything, He's given us things we don't deserve, right? The family of believers, the opportunity to be with Him, to live, right? The opportunity to go to heaven, right? We don't deserve any of that. And so when we take the time to really acknowledge who we are and who God is,
yeah,
it should really cause us to do what Simon Peter did, fall at the feet of Jesus and say, "Hey, I'm a sinful man. Mm. Help me out, please."
Amen.
Right? That's how we should approach God in the same way.
Good stuff.
But once we acknowledge these things and we see that we're called by Jesus to follow Him, that call deserves a response. Right? So the third and final point for today is called to respond. So let's go back to our scripture in Luke 5 in the story. We'll go to the end of the story. But it says, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Him." And so we see here that Jesus is giving these fishermen a new purpose.
Yep.
Right? They were professional fishermen. And He says, "Hey, this is cool and all, but I can do this in my sleep. You can see it. Right? You just caught two boatfuls of fish. But don't be afraid. You're going to fish for people now. Hmm. You're going to impact the lives of other people." And that's powerful. That's powerful that Jesus doesn't just call us into a non-purposeful life.
Yeah.
Right? He calls us to new purpose. Right? To not only impact ourselves and our own walk with God, but to impact the lives of other people. That we get to impact the people around us. But how are you going to respond to God's purpose for you? What is your purpose right now? And why isn't it this? If it isn't this, right? We're called to respond to Jesus' call. And we see here at the end of the scripture that these fishermen, they left everything and followed Jesus.
Right.
And that's a great example to see. Right? Because it can be hard to leave our old life to follow the life God has mapped out for us. Some dogs barking back there. But it can be difficult. It can be difficult to let go of the things that we cherish
and yeah.
become accustomed to.
Keep it real.
Right? And that's what Jesus calls us to do. And they left everything and followed Him. And so what does it mean to follow Jesus? Right? If you look at the life of Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, you see that Jesus had this love for other people. this amazing love for other people. So that's a place to start, right? To follow Jesus, you need to imitate his love. I'm going to speak louder so these dogs can hear too. But you need to imitate his love, amen?
Amen.
Imitate his love. You need to deny yourself. That's what Jesus calls us to do in Luke chapter 9. To deny our own way of life, to follow his way. That's difficult. He tells us to hold to his teachings like we talked about. He has many hard teachings, many hard truths, things that are hard to follow in day-to-day life. Like forgiving people who have persecuted us and praying for those people. Like serving those. Like becoming last so we can be first. Right? He has many hard teachings. He had compassion for others. Right? That's what it means to follow Jesus. And so I know this is the month of May. And a lot of people are in finals. You might think of it as final season. Some people think of it as graduation season. Right, but this month, and I'll transition a little bit here, but this month is AAPI month.
Right.
Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
Come on.
So I want to take a moment here to honor this amazing woman in my life who happens to be Asian American. And I won't reveal her identity right now. But she's an amazing example of what it means to respond to the call of Jesus. She inspires me every day to follow Jesus. And so I want to invite her up to share a little bit about her story. This is my beautiful wife, Julia.
Even like now, and I think even when I was starting to read the Bible and getting to characterize Peter, and we all kind of know Peter, right, as the one that like speaks before thinking or like just does a lot of things. Like I even began to like really judge Peter. And so even in this section of Luke 5, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, are you actually serious, Peter? But come to see later on, I actually share a lot of qualities with him because of that pride, that core rooted pride. But to add on to this pride, there were also a lot of pride from like being a teenager. And I feel like we all kind of felt that. Some of us are still teens, maybe we're maturing a little more, but for me at least, when I hit like preteens and teens, I had the, I'm invincible. Like I know everything. And I feel like whether people gave me advice or not, they would always start off of like, you know, when I was younger, I thought I knew it all too. Or, you know, when I was younger, like I thought I could do this. And like my like thinking honestly would be, okay, well I'm not you. Like I'm not gonna make the same mistakes as you, like level of pride. And so that's even something I have to kind of reverse and consistently go into the scriptures about. But even to top it all off, I had more pride because of growing up around the church. You know, I thought I was better off than people who didn't go to church three times a week like me. Or at least, I think, knowing all the things that I knew at a young age, it felt like not a lot of people knew what like the church allowed me to really learn. And so by the time I was a teen, even though I had all that pride, I knew about God, and I knew that he loved me, but I never really tried to know him personally. You know, I only knew of him. And going to all the church events and maybe like the kids' classes made me think that I knew God, and that there didn't need to be anything more outside of that, outside of those times. And especially like mixing that with the pride, like three times a week, it's like almost school. So like, I know God, all that. But you know, even when I was younger, like I knew I still wanted to get baptized. And for me at the time, like my reason behind that was so that God would protect me from the hard times in high school. Because I heard a lot of things about high school, and so I was really scared, and I was like, okay, let me get baptized right before then, just so that I'm like good or protected in that way. And looking back at it now, like it was great for me that I wanted that for myself, but I just didn't know why I wanted it. And it wasn't long after this that a lot of hard things happened in my life. You know, I had moved around, Caleb says, I'm Asian Pacific, what is it? What did you say? I'm Asian American, but I should know it for myself. But I had moved from the Philippines, and since then, I've moved around 3 to 4 times within like 5 years. So moving around school, I really didn't have a sense of security with any relationships or a solid place to like establish myself.
Yeah.
On top of that, like with school being hard, of the friends I had in high school, like there was tea, there was drama, like little like middle school Julia, like having all these drama and ending up losing all of my friends because I decided to leave our friend group with my other friend that got kicked out, which she ended up like leaving me soon after that. And also coming from the Philippines, learning a lot of generational trauma and unlearning that and really learning for myself the boundaries and just, yeah, Trump. Yeah. But so all of that hurt and uncertainty from all these things around that time like snowballed and hit my mental health as a result of it. And I found myself getting depressed and just wanting to give up and give up on God, what I knew of him and every, like all my life in general. And you know, little did I know, like those hardships allowed me to really test and question like my true motivation. Like, why do I want this for myself? Behind wanting to get baptized and all that. And I think above questioning and testing everything, I think it was really like the act of wrestling through these things with God that allowed me to get the answers and to find that clarity and to find just peace.
Yeah.
And you know, as a result of that, of instead of maybe questioning things and like leaving or getting rebellious in that way, I really went after questioning all the other adults that like taught me all these things. Like, well, why do you do this? Why are you still here? Like, why do you like her? She talked bad about you just the other day or stuff like that. And I grew closer to him as a result of it. But I think while growing closer to God, I found myself seeking comfort in things that like worked for me in the past. You know, the idea of a painless life. Like people, like I'm like kind of relying on people. And honestly, like getting to a point where I was relying on my academics, like, all right, if I can't rely on people, I'm gonna put everything into my school and do the best I can. And that's not necessarily bad, but trying to find myself in that and put my identity behind that, on top of really truly relying on myself, it doesn't work. Mm. I don't know, it doesn't work, guys. Show me someone that it worked for, but it doesn't work. And I think even after truly knowing God, it wasn't until I decided to actually obey the scriptures, to really live them out, you know, to put the scriptures above me, above my emotions, above what I thought was best, did I find security about how to go through life. You know, and through living out the scriptures, I was able to acknowledge where I was truly at, like in the scriptures, in my relationship with God. And security in God and his word gave me the clarity to know where I was really at. And more importantly, not just the clarity, but how I could take ownership over my part in responding to his calling. And whether it was the things that I did or didn't do, the scriptures grounded me way more than my own thinking or my moral compass. You know, doing those things made me want to respond. And I think for me too, like, I know I said I'm very prideful and I didn't mention too much, and maybe I did that on purpose, but you can talk to me more, but I think true acknowledgement of where I was at broke down that pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that I was better off, or the idea that I knew it all, and it led me to see who I was really, just like Peter, like, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful woman. And again, similar to Peter, like, I was looking for an answer once that pride was taken down. And I love how in that scripture, Jesus simplifies it when he says, like, don't be afraid, like, it's okay. And he says, I'm calling you for a new purpose. And their response was that they left everything and followed him. And, you know, thinking about how I was in my own relationship with God, like, it is that simple. As hard as we can try to make it, as hard as my pride can try to snuff that out, like, it is that simple. And even thinking about this point that Caleb named, like, call to respond, like, triggers my thinking already. Like, what do you mean call to respond? Like, I have to respond? Like, I don't have to do anything type of thinking. And what I've really tried to condition myself is not a have to type of thinking, but I get to. That it wasn't a matter of having to or thinking of all the things I needed to leave, like the people in Luke 5, but it's I get to. And I think truly knowing the scriptures, truly wanting to obey and acknowledge where you're really at, changes that thinking. I get to. You know, instead of, I have to figure out my life, Jesus says, I get to have a new purpose. Mm-hmm. Instead of having to read my Bible every day, like people encourage us to do, it's no, I get to read and grow closer to God every day and know Him more. Instead of, I have to get open or else people will question me, I get to open up and not hold anything for myself. You know, I get to not hold on to these emotions of guilt, of shame, embarrassment. Instead of, I have to respond, I get to respond. And I think that's what's really helped me respond to God's calling. And more importantly, like, the scriptures talk about certainty of God's promise. And so coming to know that as a teen, like, regardless of how young I was, regardless of how invincible I felt or how much I thought I knew everything, like, that convinced me, that certainty of that promise. And if there's anything to respond to, it was going to be that. So how could I not respond to that?
Wow, she was amazing. I don't have too much more to add to that. I can't add too much to that. But it's so inspiring just to hear Julia's story. And in a few minutes here, we're gonna transition into a time of communion. And so if you need a communion cup, please raise your hand and someone will bring that over to you. But as we transition to a time of communion, I wanna ask you guys a rhetorical question that you guys can think about for yourself. But how will you respond to the call of Jesus? How are you guys going to respond to this call of Jesus?
Come on.
What have you heard today or seen in the scriptures that you want to start applying to your life? Or what is something that you're holding on to that Jesus is calling you to drop? Or what are these things in your life? Really reflect on that after today and throughout this week. And, you know, I just want to give a little summary of our points here, right? The call of discipleship, it's a call to obey, it's a call to acknowledge, and a call to respond. And I'm not a father yet, but this is a great dad joke. This is an acronym, OR, right? And OR, fishing, you know what I mean? OR, fishing. But if you think about it, I know, the fact that I had to explain it. But if you think about it, an oar is something that propels you forward. It helps you to steer. And Jesus, He wants to be that for us. He wants to propel us forward and steer us towards heaven. Right? That's why Jesus came. He came to do this for us. But He can't do that for us if we're not willing to follow Him. Right? If we're not willing to put these into practice. And so, I want to get into the why. Right? Because all this is difficult. Discipleship is difficult. It's not easy. It's not an easy journey. And so I want to get into the why. Why should we do this? And so let's go to 1 Peter.
Come on, bro.
Chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, starting verse 21, it says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you."
That's right.
"Leaving you an example, that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed.
Amen.
For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And what's amazing here is the same fisherman, Simon Peter, who decided to follow Jesus on that day, wrote this scripture, inspiring the church and us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Following Jesus is not easy. It's not an easy journey. It's a life of hardship, suffering, and serving. That's what Jesus went through. But it's the most fulfilling,
yes,
and the most purposeful thing that you can do with your life. It's the most, hands down. The thing that will give you the most purpose and most fulfillment is right here, is to follow Jesus. And what motivates me to keep following Jesus, especially when it's hard, is the fact that when my sin was deserving of death, Jesus took my place. Mm. Jesus took my spot on the cross. He went through that death that I deserve. And the least I can do is live for Him. He gave me this life, so why should I throw it away on anything else? He calls us to live for righteousness, and that we build a close relationship with God, because He gave us an opportunity to have a relationship with God. So why would we throw that away?
Yeah.
We should take advantage of that opportunity to grow a strong relationship with God. And so, as we take the bread that represents the body of Christ and the juice that represents His blood that was spilled for us, let us really remember that Jesus is worthy.
Yeah.
He's worthy of our lives.
Come on.
He's worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our acknowledgement. And He's worthy of a response. A response to His call. And so let's bow our heads as we reflect on Jesus and truly praise for the communion.